2.10. Part 2.
For me, the importance of all this was that I began to realize that the large chocolate companies actually did possess inventing rooms, and they took their inventing very seriously. I used to picture a long white room like a laboratory, with pots of chocolate and fudge and all sorts of other delicious fillings bubbling away on the stoves, while men and women in white coats moved between the bubbling pots, tasting and mixing and concocting their wonderful new inventions. I used to imagine myself working in one of these labs, and suddenly I would come up with something so unbearably delicious that I would grab it in my hand and go rushing out of the lab and along the corridor and right into the offices of the great Mr. Cadbury himself. "I've got it, sir," I would shout, putting the chocolate in front of him. "It's fantastic! It's fabulous! It's marvellous! It's irresistible!" Slowly, the great man would pick up my newly invented chocolate, and he would take a small bite. He would roll it round his mouth. Then all at once, he would leap from his chair, crying, "You've got it! You've done it! It's a miracle!" He would slap me on the back and shout, "We'll sell it by the million! We'll sweep the world with this one! How on earth did you do it? Your salary is doubled!" It was lovely dreaming those dreams. And I have no doubt at all that 35 years later, when I was looking for a plot for my second book for children, I remembered those little cardboard boxes and the newly invented chocolates inside them. And I began to write a book called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.